Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. More and more Michigan residents are dying every year from drug overdoses, not cocaine and heroin, but rather prescription drugs. The numbers have been increasing, especially recently. To discuss why we're seeing this trend, I'm joined by Larry Scott, manager of the prevention section of Michigan's Bureau of Substance Abuse and Addiction Services. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you for having me.
Now, is there a particular segment of our population here in the state that's being especially impacted by prescription drug abuse?
Prescription drug abuse is affecting or impacting, if you will, all the age groups, within our state. As a matter of fact, if you have an opportunity to look at our statistics from our vital records division, there were 147 deaths among persons between the ages of 20 and 39. However, the most profound number of deaths occurred among people aged 40 to 49. We had 131 people who died as a result of a prescription drug abuse overdose within that 40 to 49 age group. Now, this is during a period of 2 years, from 2007 to 2009. So as you can see from those statistics, there isn't one particular age group where the impact is felt more than the other. As a matter of fact, the older the recipient, if you will, the lesser the impact. For example, if someone's over 60, we're seeing fewer deaths among people over 60 during that same time period.
It almost sounds like these are people that are prescribed this medication legally, and is it that over time they're beginning to take more and more and suddenly they've taken too much, or are these just almost one-time users that are being killed?
Well, first of all, there are being more prescriptions written. There are being more legitimate prescriptions written. For example, I believe in 2009, for example, we had over 5 million prescriptions written, if you will, just for what we call Schedule III or hydrocodone-type drugs. In other words, for pain relievers.
Now, 5 million in Michigan?
That is correct.
We have a population of 10 million people, don't we?
Yes.
That I can't even really believe what you're telling me. You're telling me it sounds like almost half the population is on a fairly strong...
Oh, no, you have several people. You have people who have several prescriptions.
I see.
Written. So therefore, we have more prescriptions written, more legitimate prescriptions written for individuals, if you will. And you have thousands of prescriptions written for, again, what we call Schedule III drugs, which pertain to, again, analgesics, people using drugs to relieve pain.
Hearing these numbers is astounding. Is your sense that perhaps these are maybe being overprescribed and that maybe many of these people could find alternative ways to resolve their pains?
Well, the prescriptions that are written are legitimate. But the issue could be that once they are written and once the prescription is filled, we really don't know what happens at that particular point. Obviously, most individuals are taking their prescriptions in what we would consider to be a legitimate and reasonable manner. But prescriptions are left in medicine cabinets that are not locked. They're left in refrigerators where there's easy access. They're given to friends, they're given to relatives, without a prescription or without permission from a physician who has made the prescription. And so you have easy access, if you will, to these prescriptions by people for whom the prescriptions are not written. So most of the prescriptions, again, are written for legitimate purposes. There may be some cases, and again, this is anecdotal, there may be some cases where a physician could be prescribing based on a medical necessity, and however, the particular individual may need maybe 4 days or 5 days worth of pills, but maybe prescribed 30, if you will, to say that that's not going on would probably not be truthful.
I'm talking to Larry Scott, manager of the prevention section of Michigan's Bureau of Substance Abuse and Addiction Services. Larry, these medicines or drugs are so powerful. Is there any way of avoiding addiction if you take them for an extended period of time?
If you take, I'm sorry, is your question?
In terms of if you begin to take a painkiller, how long can you actually take a drug like this without forming a physical addiction to it?
Again, that depends upon the actual drug. Again, most of the prescriptions, 30% of the prescriptions that are written are for what we call hydrocodone. And hydrocodone is an opioid for pain relief. In other words, it's written for individuals to use to relieve pain. And so you're talking primarily Oxycontin, Vicodin, diluted, Darvon, Demerol, those types of drugs. One can be addicted to those drugs over a certain period of time. It depends on the individual. Some individuals have, if you will, a lower threshold for addiction, and some individuals may not become addicted after, say, 3 or 4 weeks worth of use. Some people can become addicted. Some people who have to take that medication over a period of several months may become addicted. As a matter of fact, there'll be a warning on the label that'll say this drug can be addictive. And the prescribing physician will also make that comment that the drug that you're taking, especially if it's a Schedule 3, can be addictive.
Do you think doctors are paying enough attention to their patients who are taking these drugs?
I think so. I think so. Again, these prescriptions are legitimate. And I believe, and we believe the doctors are paying attention. However, we believe that we should be about more education to the medical community to make sure that the drugs that are being prescribed as a medical necessity, and that they're taking into account the potential for addiction for these particular drugs and counsel accordingly. Now, I will also say there are not that many physicians that are educated in pharmacology, and we don't have many physicians who are also pharmacologists. And so we believe that if there were more education around pharmacology and the pharmacology of addiction in particular, then you'll have more physicians probably more mindful about the Schedule 3, especially the Schedule 3 drugs that they prescribe.
The ADHD medications, very common, things like Ritalin, they're being prescribed to young people. Students use them very frequently. When you look at something like this that's being used in a functional way to help young people focus, what are the indications that someone is beginning to abuse these drugs?
It depends on the individual. There are a number of physical signals that you can see that may be a sign of addiction. It could be irritability. It could be loss of weight. It could be a person being irrational, being anxious, having different types of what we call manic episodes. So it could be a number of physical signals that one can actually pick up on to determine whether or not there is what we call a dependence being developed. And again, there are a number of tests, if you will. There are diagnostic tools that can determine whether or not someone is dependent on a particular drug.
And finally, how would you compare the prescription drug abuse we're seeing now in Michigan to the current abuse of hard drugs like cocaine, heroin, and so on? Is it a bigger problem than illegal drugs right now?
Well, I'll just say this. For our numbers of people that are seeking publicly funded treatment for prescription drug abuse, in other words, for drugs that they had become addicted to because of a prescription, we have increased the number of individuals in treatment by a tremendous rate. The number of people entering treatment for primary and tertiary use of prescription drugs has skyrocketed within the last 3 or 4 years. So that will give you an idea as to the extent of the use of prescription drugs. I would say it certainly rivals, if not, it's probably even has more of an impact in terms of our treatment system than those people using cocaine.
Larry Scott, manager of the prevention section of Michigan's Bureau of Substance Abuse and Addiction Services. Thank you for joining me, Larry.
Thank you.
I'll be back with more Capital City Recap here on 1320 WILS.